I've been preaching a series of messages entitled, God Bless You. And we have discovered from the book of Proverbs that it's the blessing of the Lord that really makes us rich. And that those of you that have experienced the blessings of God, God has made you wealthy, and wealthy you are. My desire for you and my desire in my own life is to experience all the blessings that God has for us. We spend some time in this series of messages focusing on what I call the areas of God's blessings. We looked at all the different areas, or some of the areas that God wants to bless us in, and we talked about cultural blessings, blessings upon our nation and culture. We talked about material blessings that God provides for us in our journey through life. We talked about the relational blessings, the blessing of relationship and family, and God's blessings upon our families. And we talked about directional blessings, God blessing us with purpose and direction in life. And we talked about spiritual blessings, spent most of our time focusing on the spiritual blessings that God has blessed us with in Christ. We discovered, ladies and gentlemen, in Ephesians 1:3, that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And we looked at what those spiritual blessings, or at least what some of them are, that God has blessed us with in Christ. So we spent some time talking about the areas of God's blessings, and then we've been spending a little bit of time, the last number of services, focusing on what I've called the avenues of God's blessings. And that is that I want to experience, if I want to experience all the maximum blessings of God in my life, then I need to get on the right avenue, the right road. That is, I need to get on the right path, the avenues of God's blessings. And we've been discovering what some of those avenues are. If you've been following along in this series of messages, I've said to you that first of all, there is the avenue of salvation. And that is, if you're going to experience the blessings of God in your life, then you've got to be saved. Now listen, God blesses all of His creation. I've said to you that when the sun is shining, it shines on the lost just like the saved. When the rain comes, it rains on the lost just like the saved. And so all of God's creation experiences a measure of God's blessings. But those who experience the maximum blessings of God are those who've turned to Christ and who have received Him as the Lord of your life. That is, God puts you on a brand new road. Remember Matthew 7? There are two avenues. There's the wide avenue and there is the narrow avenue. The wide avenue, many are on it. And that is, all of humanity is on the wide avenue that leads to destruction. Ever since Adam sinned against God, humanity has been on that road. But listen to me now, you can get off the wide avenue and you can get on the narrow avenue. And it's the avenue or the path or the road that leads to everlasting life. And ladies and gentlemen, we discover that the way out of the wide and into the narrow is Jesus. And that is that He provided. He's the door, He's the way, He's the gate, it's Christ. Those who turn to Christ and receive Him into their life, they're on a brand new avenue. It is now the avenue of salvation. And that's the avenue, listen, that many of you, maybe most of you, are on. And that is the avenue of salvation. I tell you, it's an avenue that leads to all kinds of blessings in your life. And the maximum blessings of God are for those who've turned to Christ and received Him as the Lord of your life. The avenue of salvation. Now, when you're traveling down the avenue of salvation, if you've been saved, there's a lot of other little avenues you can turn on, at least even more blessings in your life. I've said to you that one of them is the avenue of humility. Just like our Lord humbled Himself and washed the feet of the disciples and then told them, He said, listen, you're going to be happy or blessed. Those of you that know and do these things will be blessed, and you will. If you go down the road of humility, it leads to all kinds of blessings. We discovered another avenue. For those who are on the avenue of salvation, you might look over to the side and you'll see the avenue of prayer. And that is, now that you're saved, a child of God, you can walk with God in prayer. And there are some special blessings that only come to those who get alone with God and who walk with Him in prayer. There's some blessings you'll never receive if you don't walk with God and spend some time with Him in prayer. I talked to you about the avenue of repentance in the last few messages, and that is, we discovered that if you want to be blessed by God, then you got to repent. That is, you and I have to be repenters. There's things in our life, ladies and gentlemen, that stop the blessings of God in our life. And that is like a barricade stopping the traffic on a road. It'll stop you from experiencing the blessings of God. And those barricades, ladies and gentlemen, are there because it is sin that is standing in our way. And if you look off to the right, you'll see there a new avenue. That is, you don't have to sit there at the barricade. You can get on another avenue called repentance. You can turn from that sin and you can turn to God. You can repent. And listen to me now, if you will, if you'll repent, If you'll do that, then listen, you're on your way again. And you're on your way to the blessings of God. There are things in your life and my life that we have to repent of on Salvation's Avenue. And the reason why we do, ladies and gentlemen, is because they're getting in our way of being blessed like God wants us to bless. Listen to me now. Sin doesn't rob us of our salvation because Christ took care of that at the cross, but it'll rob you of your blessing. And so if there's things in your life that you know are not, shouldn't be there, then the word is repent. That's one of the avenues that leads to blessing in your life. Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14, what God said to Solomon? He said, listen, if I shut up the heavens so that there's not any rain, and if I send a pestilence and a locust and devours all of your crops, if all you got to do, if my people, which are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. God said, I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land, I'll bless them with rain again, crops again, if they will, if they'll humble themselves, if they'll pray, if they'll turn from their wicked ways. And that's what I've been preaching to you about. These are the avenues that lead to blessing in our life today as well. So I want to preach to you about another avenue that leads to blessing. This is number five, if you're keeping count, is the avenue of obedience. The avenue of obedience. Ladies and gentlemen, if you and I are going to be blessed like God wants to bless us, then we've got to learn not only to humble ourselves and to pray and to repent, but we've got to learn to be obedient to God. Learning to be obedient. Now, let me just say to you in abbreviated form something that I'm going to preach more lengthy in another message soon. And that is, when I'm talking about obedience, what I mean is this. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about you hearing, your hearing. If you and I are going to obey God, then we have to listen to what God is saying. You can't obey God if you don't know what He's saying to you. And so it involves our hearing. If you don't listen to God, you'll never live a life of obedience. You're going to miss out on some blessings. Not only does it involve hearing, but it also involves our heart. In other words, what I'm saying is this, is that is when we hear what God is saying, then we need to have a heart that submits to what God has said. That says, you know what? If that's what God is saying, it may not be what I had in mind for my life. It may not be the direction I wanted to go in, but I'm going to put myself on the back burner and submit to what God is saying. Listen, it involves your hearing. You got to listen to what God is saying. It involves your heart submitting to God and to His will for your life. And then it involves your hands. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean, you got to start doing what God said to do. And that is, when God speaks and your heart says, I'm going to submit myself to God, then, ladies and gentlemen, that submissive posture in our heart has to translate into our hands so that we get up and start obeying what God said to do. Now, let me just say to you that, first of all, God expects obedience. I'm going to preach to you a few moments about the expectation of obedience, and that is that God expects for us to obey Him. Now, the reason why God expects for us to obey Him and the reason why we should, that expectation from God, you say, well, why should God expect me to obey anybody but me? The reason why, first of all, is because of who He is. You ought to obey God because He is God. If you ever get this settled in your mind and in your heart, who God is, and that is, it's not you. And by the way, it's not me. And that is, there's only one God, and you know who He is. He's the one that created all things, the one who sent His Son into the world. God is God. And if you ever get that settled in your mind and your heart, then you'll know the reason why that you ought to obey Him. Remember when your kids were growing up and you told them to do something and they asked that one question that you got so frustrated with? You asked the question, why? And so you gave them a reason why. And they asked it again, well, why should I do that? And why should I go there? And finally, you get down to the point where you say, you need to do it just because I told you to. Just because I said. And listen, the reason why you said that is because of who you are. You were saying that I am your dad, I am your mother, I'm your grandparent, I'm the adult here, and you need to do what I say just because I'm the one who said it. Even so, ladies and gentlemen, even so, God. And that is a reason why that we ought to obey Him is because of who He is. He really is God. And we're not. But secondly, the reason why we ought to obey Him, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why God expects us to obey Him is so that He can bless us. God wants to bless you. And so God has given us some instructions, some direction, is speaking loudly to us because He wants to bless us. When I was growing up, my parents expected for me and my siblings to obey them. Now, when I say that they expected for us to obey them, some of you know what I mean, and I mean they really expected us to obey them. It wasn't an expectation like many maybe would have today, and that is expect for them to obey them, but if they don't, then that's, you know, I guess that's just the way it is. No, my mom and dad enforced their expectation. And they expected us to. And the reason why they expected us to is because of the fact that their rules were for our benefit. They did that for us. The reason why that they expected us to eat the food that we ate is so that we would be healthy. If they would have let me eat whatever I want to, then I would have ordered some candy and I would have had that for my meals. But we didn't have candy at the house. We didn't have a bunch of sweets at the house. We had to eat real food. You know what I mean. And the reason why is because they wanted to bless us with some health. They wanted us to be healthy. They also had some rules, like they wouldn't let us play in the road. Now, as we got older, we got to ride our bikes around the block, but we didn't get to just play in the road. And the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, is because they didn't want us to get hurt, didn't want to get run over or anything like that. And so we didn't get to play in the road. You see, the reason why that they expected us to obey that rule is for our blessing and our benefit. When I went to school, I was expected to behave. If I didn't behave at school, I would have been done for. There would be no pastor of this church. I wouldn't have survived long enough. And so I was expected to behave, and listen to me now, I was expected to do my best at school. If I didn't do my best at school, then listen, mom and dad would be dealing with me. They would be straightening me out. They would be dealing with my attitude. And nevertheless, that was the expectation. Now, the reason why they expected that is because they wanted me to be blessed. And that is, they wanted for me, ladies and gentlemen, to learn how to submit to authority. And they also wanted for me to learn some ABCs and some addition and subtraction and things like that. They wanted me to be blessed. What I'm trying to describe to you is the reason why that God expects us to obey Him. He expects us to obey Him because of who He is. He's God, and He expects for us to obey Him because that is what is best for us. That is the avenue to blessing, and that is obedience to God. That is, God has laid out for us direction. He's laid out for us rules for protection as well as direction, so that you and I might be able to experience the best of His blessings as we journey through this life. Now I'm going to give you some scripture to look at where we can kind of lay out sort of God's expectation of obedience. God expects us to obey Him. We see it in the Old Testament, certainly. Throughout the Old Testament, there is this expectation of obedience. As a matter of fact, most of us who like to read the Bible, we would expect for there to be an expectation of obedience in the Old Testament with God's people, Israel. God gave them the law, we remember that. And in the law, God laid out His expectation that His people in the Old Testament, those who are called by His name, He laid out for them an expectation of obedience. Listen to the book of Deuteronomy. In chapter number 4, for example, you remember the book of Deuteronomy is what is the second telling of the law. Remember the word deutero means twice or two, and then the second telling of the law. This is that book that lays out for us whenever Moses gathered together with the Israelites at the end of the wilderness wanderings, and 40 years or so after the giving of the law of Mount Sinai, gathered this next generation of Israelites who are going to follow Joshua into the land of Canaan, and he gives to them the law. He tells them, here's the law that God gave your family, your parents and grandparents at Mount Sinai. I want you to remember the law. And so He repeats it for them. He gives it to them again. And as He did, He laid out for them God's expectation for them to obey it. In other words, God is not giving the Israelites the Old Testament law and the direction that He is giving. He's not giving it to them to just know. He's giving it for them to know and do. That is, to obey. The same is true with us as well. And that is, that God not only wants us to know what He is saying to us, but to do or obey what He's saying. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 39. Deuteronomy 4:39 says, "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. That is, there's just one God. And God really is God. And because of who God is, verse 40, thou shalt keep therefore. That is, because God is God, thou shalt keep His statutes, His commandments, which I command thee this day. And here's the reason why, Israel, that you need to do it. Not only because God is God, but also, verse 40, so that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. That is, he's saying to them, this, you need to obey my statutes and my commandments. That is, you need to obey me. And here's why, because I'm God and there is none else. And secondly, is so that you might prosper and be blessed and live a long time in the land that you're going to be going in, that Joshua is going to lead you in. The avenue, Father, to the Father's blessing is indeed the avenue of obedience. That is, obeying what God has said. We see it again in Deuteronomy chapter number 5 and verse number 27. Listen to what it says there. It says, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. That is, Moses is recalling the Israelites, saying, listen, get this word from God, that is, and bring it to us, and we'll listen and we will do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I've heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that or so that it may be well with them. Did you hear that? So that it may be well with them and with their children forever. God is saying, ladies and gentlemen, that is, to that generation of Israelites who received the law, and now to the second generation that is getting ready to go into the land, and that is, I would that you not only would hear the law, but that you had a heart that's ready to obey. And the reason why is so that you, so that it can be well with you and your children. That is, so you can be blessed. That is the avenue, ladies and gentlemen, to blessing is indeed obedience. God expects them to obey Him so that He can bless them. In chapter number 7 and verse number 11, listen to what it says here in the book of Deuteronomy. God said, thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Listen to God's expectation. I expect you to obey. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken or hear these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which He swore unto thy fathers, and He will love thee and bless thee. Listen to this. God's going to bless you if you'll do this. If you'll hear and obey what I'm saying, then God will bless you and multiply thee. He'll also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, the corn, the wine, the oil, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of the sheep, and the land which I swore unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou, listen to this, are you ready? Thou shalt be blessed above all people. If you'll obey me, you'll be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Listen, when you go into the land of Canaan, you're going to be blessed above all the other nations, and you're going to prosper, and you're going to have great crops, and you're going to have great herds. If you will obey me, you're going to be blessed. We see it again in chapter number 11. If you're just wondering, say, Pastor, that doesn't sound right to me. Well, let's do it again. In Deuteronomy chapter number 11 and verse number 26, listen to what it says. Behold, I said before you this day, Moses saying, listen, I said before you a blessing and a curse. Well, which do you want? So I'd like to have the blessing and not the curse. Well, listen to Moses. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. You see, whether you're going to be blessed or cursed, Israel, depends on whether or not you obey God. That is what God has said through Moses, what God has revealed. If you obey, blessing. If you don't, if you rebel and refuse, then instead it is going to be the curse. In Deuteronomy chapter number 28, this just goes on and on. In Deuteronomy chapter number 28 and verse number 1, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. If you'll obey, Moses said, if you'll obey God, he'll set you above all the nations of the earth. Now listen to this, listen closely. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. You'll be overflowing with blessings. If thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, you will be overrun with blessings. It said, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Whether you're in the city or in the field, you're going to be blessed. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of the kine, the flocks of the sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you're journeying through life, you're either coming in or going out. And the Bible says here, you're going to be blessed either way. If you just obey me, Israel, hey, listen, you're getting ready to go into the land, and I want to bless you. That's why I've given you all these laws and rules and statutes, is so that I can bless you, bless you, bless you. So if you obey me, you will be blessed. Don't you love that? You're seeing God's expectation in the Old Testament. Listen to Joshua chapter number 1. And that is when Joshua got ready to, when he succeeded Moses after his death, and he got ready to lead the Israelites into the land. Ladies and gentlemen, God spoke to him. Here's what he said in Joshua 1 verse 1. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister or servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over the Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, all of this is going to be yours. All this land, Joshua, is yours. Now therefore, there shall not stand any man stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee, Joshua. Nobody's going to be able to stop you or stand in your way. I'm going to be with you like I was with Moses, and I'll not forsake you. Listen to verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for into this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. You're going to take the land and divide it among them. And listen to him now. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Listen, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. And here's why. That or so that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you. I want you to be successful and prosperous. The idea of prosperous here is to take the land that God said he's going to give to them. I'm going to prosper you. You're going to give victory in the land. Take the land, divide it among them. I'm going to bless you, but here's what you got to do. You've got to obey me. If you'll obey me, I will bless you. Hey, you remember Isaiah chapter number 1? In Isaiah 1, remember that chapter? We looked at it extensively, ladies and gentlemen, last Sunday. And remember these two verses in Isaiah 1, verse number 18? It says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool. And then he said this, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That is, if you'll be willing, that is, if you'll submit your will and obey me, you're going to eat the good of the land. You're going to be blessed. Israel, you're going to be blessed. Isaiah is saying you want to be blessed, then obey God. But if you don't obey him, if you refuse and rebel against God, then you're going to be devoured by the sword, that is, by the enemy, Babylonians that are going to come in and destroy you. Remember what I said? You can either eat or be eaten. If you want to eat good in the land and not be devoured by the enemy, then you got to be willing and obedient. Did you know that disobedience opens the door to the enemy? It opens the door to the enemy. If you want to shut the door on the enemy and experience all the blessings that God has for you, then be obedient. I'm trying to describe to you or let you see the expectation of obedience that God is giving us here in the Old Testament. By the way, it's not only the expectation in the Old Testament, but also is the expectation in the New Testament as well. That is, in the New Testament, God expects for those who are His people to obey Him. Now listen, our obedience is not what determines salvation. It is the obedience of Christ at the cross that bought our salvation. But once you're saved, that is, once you're on salvation's avenue, the avenue of salvation, if you want to experience all the blessings of God, then you've got to go down the road of obedience and obey God. God expects you to obey Him. Let me just give you one verse in James chapter 1 and verse number 25. Listen to what James said. In James chapter number 1 and verse number 25, here's what James said. He said, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein." The Bible says, "He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed." What man shall be blessed? The man who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that looks in the Word of God and continues to look and does not forget what it is that he saw, what he read, what he learned, but does the work. This man is the one who's going to be blessed. Now he's using the idea, if you read the previous verses, he uses the idea of a mirror. That is, when you look into a mirror, it's not a quick glance. You need to stand there and look at it for just a moment. And the reason why is because somebody's looking back at you, and if you don't recognize who it is, it's probably you. And you're looking back at you, and when you look at yourself in a mirror, don't take a quick glance, ladies and gentlemen, and then just go on. And the reason why is because you may not look good. Your hair might be messed up, and your teeth might be dirty, and your breath might be bad, and I could keep going on and on and on. That is, you go to the mirror, and you look, and you stay there for a few minutes, and you do something about what it is that you see. And the reason why is so that whenever you walk away from that mirror is so that you will indeed be presentable. In the same way with the Word of God, you and I look into the Word, and God reflects back to us what it is that we need to deal with and work on and obey and the direction we need to take in life so we can become everything God wants us to be. But don't just take a quick glance, and don't just glance and look at yourself and then not do anything about it. It's not just those who hear the Word, who see the Word, who know the Word, but it's those who do something about it. Hey, you can look in the mirror and say, "I look terrible," and then go ahead and come on to church. But it'd be a whole lot better if you look in the mirror and say, "I look terrible," and do something about it, and then come to church, as all of you have done, no doubt. Maybe an exception or two. You get the point. God expects for us to obey what He said in His Word. Why? So we can be blessed. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of this. That is, there's an expectation of obedience, but there's also, ladies and gentlemen, a Bible full of examples of what I'm talking about. And let me just mention a few of them to you, as much as we have time for. Hey, there's the example of what I'm going to call the boat builder. You know him. The boat builder. And that is, I'm talking about Noah in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter number 6, God said that the wickedness of man had become so great that He decided that He was going to destroy all of humanity. He's going to send a flood to wipe out all life. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God is going to save Noah. So God met with Noah, ladies and gentlemen, and He told him to make an ark. That is, I want you to build an ark. Listen to Genesis 6, beginning of verse 11. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way before God. And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it: the length of the ark, 300 cubits, the breadth, 50 cubits, the height is 30 cubits. A window thou shalt make in the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above. And the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I'll establish my covenant, And thou shalt come into the ark, and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee, male and female, of fowls after their kind, cattle after their kind, creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive, and thou... take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and gather it to thee, and it shall be for food to thee and for them. Build the ark. Build it this way. He gives them instructions about how to build this boat, this ark. He says, I want you and your wife and your son and their wives to get into the ark, and I want you to bring the animals into the ark and food into the ark to sustain them who are going to be in that thing for a year or so. So they got to have a lot of food. And he gives them all of these instructions, all these details. Now, I don't know about you, but if God came to me and told me that, I'd be sitting there in shock for a moment or two, or maybe an hour or two, or maybe a week or two. I would be overwhelmed right now, wouldn't you? Noah's never built a boat before. As a matter of fact, if we understand Scripture right, nobody ever has. It's not like you can go online and order your set of plans. It's not like you can call the lumber yard up and tell them to bring the lumber. It's not like you can call a contractor and say, would you come and help me out here? No, indeed. But the Bible says this, and you and I should take note of it. In the last verse of chapter number 6 of Genesis, thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. And that little verse, ladies and gentlemen, stands out to us. And that is, Noah didn't know anything about building boats. He never built one before. Nobody else had built one before. But listen to me now. God spoke, and Noah just obeyed God. He heard what God said, his heart submitted to what God was revealing, and his hands went to work building an ark, building the boat, ladies and gentlemen. And what a blessing that is. Hey, listen, think about all the blessings that have flowed out of that boat that Noah built. The only reason why you and I are here today is because of that boat. All of humanity would have been destroyed, all animal life. Listen, everything would have been gone if it wasn't for that boat. Now, we know that that ark is a picture of our Lord Jesus, of his resurrection from the dead, ladies and gentlemen, and that at death surrounding them, the boat rose out of the realm of death. It's a picture of Christ, his death and resurrection. But listen to me now, you and I understand this, and that is because of the fact that this man obeyed God, him and his wife were saved, his sons and their wives were saved, and all of humanity was, ladies and gentlemen. What blessings flowed out of this man's obedience? The boat builder. Not only is there the boat builder, but consider with me the example of the famous father. The famous father. You say, what father are you talking about? I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the one named Abraham. And that is, listen to me now, millions of people around the world claim Abraham as their originator or their father. And he's the father of a great nation. And the Bible says he, in a spiritual way, is we're the children of the descendants of Abraham as well, you and I, by faith. He is the famous father, Abraham. And do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the reason why God blessed him, the reason why that he blessed him as a great nation, the reason why that it's the descendant of Abraham who came into the world and died for us on the cross and paid the price, the reason why there is that nation, the reason why he is the famous father is because he obeyed God. You remember Genesis chapter number 12. You'll see there the start of his obedience, the beginning of his obedience. It says, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee. And listen to this, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham, I want to bless you, and I want to bless everybody else. I want to make you a great nation, that is your descendants, your family. I want your descendants to be a great nation, and through your descendant, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. But here's what you got to do, and that is you got to get up. You got to leave your father's family. You got to leave your land, and you got to start traveling to a land that I'll show you when you get there. Now, remember, the reason why God said, I'll show it to you when you get there is because there wasn't a map and there wasn't any Google Maps and nothing like that. And that is that Abraham couldn't just look and see where the land was going to be. God said, you just follow me and I'll take you there. So you know what Abraham did? Verse 4, Abraham departed as the Lord spoke unto him, and Lot went with him. He was 75 years old, ladies and gentlemen, when he departed out of Haran. He just did what God said to do. Now, there's a lot of uncertainty about it. He didn't know where he's going to end up, how it's all going to work out. He must have had some fear and anxiety about doing that. But listen, when God speaks to you and you obey Him, you're on your way to blessing. And it may be tough getting there, and there may be a lot of things you have to go through. But listen to me now. If you'll obey God, He'll bless you. You're on your way. You're on the avenue that leads to blessing. That was the start of his obedience. But I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, highlighted for us is the seriousness of his obedience in Genesis 22. Many years later, Abraham has a son, a promised son. He and his wife couldn't have any kids, you know that. And finally, God blessed them in their old age. He was 100 years old when he became a daddy. Think about that for a few moments, guys. Ladies, if you got your elbow going over there, just remember that his wife, Sarah, had her little pumpkin whenever she was about 90 years old. And God blessed him with a son, the promised son. The one that all of these promises are going to be fulfilled in. And there came a point, ladies and gentlemen, that as that little boy was growing up and becoming a young man, there came a point at which God tested the obedience and the faith of Abraham. How far would this man go in obedience to God? The Bible says in Genesis 22 that God spoke to Abraham, and here's what he said. He said, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, the one that you love, and I want you to go to the land of Moriah, and I want you to offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I'll show you. Now listen, if God said something to me like that, it'd take me a day or two. It'd take me a week or two. It'd take me a month or two to get over the shock. As a matter of fact, I would try to find a way to explain away what I heard and say, God didn't really say that. I must have been mistaken. To take my son and offer him up as a sacrifice, but not Abraham. The Bible says in verse 3 of that chapter in Genesis 22, it says, Abraham rose up early. Now, I wouldn't have. I'd have tried to sleep in as long as I could. But he rose up early in the morning, sat his ass, took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. He got the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, and he started going to the place, started out for the place that God had told him, started to head to the land of Moriah. On the third day, Abraham, of course, lifted up his eyes. He saw the place afar off. Said to his young men, stay here, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you again. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac, his son. Isaac's carrying the wood. He took the fire in his hand, a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham, his father. Listen to this. He said, my father. He said, here am I. And he said, behold the fire. I see the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And here's this man Abraham, ladies and gentlemen, traveling up to a mountain where God had showed him with his son. He's got the wood, he's got the fire, he's got the knife. And he's headed there for the purpose of putting that knife into his son and offer him as a sacrifice to God. And the only reason why he would do that is because that's what God told him to do. How far will this man go in his obedience? I don't know about you, but if I was traveling up that mountain, I would have tried to find a way to trip and break my ankle or something so I wouldn't have to go any farther. I would have gotten hungry and say, let's stop for lunch, and I would have taken a long, long lunch. I would have gotten lost so I couldn't find the place. But not Abraham. The Bible says he came to the place where he was to offer him as a sacrifice, and he built the altar, and he laid the wood in order upon the altar. And ladies and gentlemen, he got the fire ready. He laid his son on the altar. And the Bible says he was about ready to take that knife and plunge it into his body and end his life whenever there was a voice that cried out and said, don't do it, don't do your son any harm. And now I know the extent to which you will obey me. Offer this ram instead of your son. And he turned around and saw this ram caught in the thickets. And he took and replaced his son with the ram and offered it as a sacrifice in the place of his son. Now, all of that is a beautiful picture of our Savior that is going to come and die in our place as our sacrifice. Abraham's a beautiful picture of God who's willing to give his son. And the ram is a beautiful picture of Christ who dies in our place. There's all kinds of symbolism and pictures here for us. But ladies and gentlemen, what I'm highlighting for you is the extent to which Abraham will go, the seriousness of his obedience to God. This man is willing to give up the most precious thing in his life in obedience to God. He's willing to give up his everything. All the promises of the future rest in this son, Isaac. Everything that Abraham has been walking and working towards since chapter number 12, rest in this son, Isaac. Everything. And he's willing to give it all in obedience to God. You say, well, he didn't have to, but he was willing to. He was ready to when God intervened. Now that causes me to stop and ask myself, how far would I be willing to go to obey God? Would I be willing to give up everything? Think about your everything. Think about your property. Think about your bank account. Think about your family. Would I be willing to give up everything to obey God? Now listen. If not, that is, if obedience to God is not that serious in my life, then I'm probably missing out on some of the blessings God has for me. One of the highlights of the Old Testament is up on that mountain in Genesis 22. And the reason why it is because a man was willing to obey God. Would you? I mean, has God so operated in us that we would say, I'd be willing to go wherever God wants me to go, do whatever God tells me to do, willing to abandon everything God wants me to abandon? You see, Pastor, God wouldn't tell you to do that. That's exactly what he called the apostles to do, to leave everything and follow him. A heart of obedience to God. Now that's the avenue that leads to God's blessings on your life. I've got a lot more examples for you, but I don't have time to give them to you now. Don't you want God to bless you? The avenue of obedience is the road that leads you there. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us, and pray that you'd operate upon our hearts, that you speak loudly to us and bring us to a point, Father, we wouldn't hold anything back from you but surrender fully to you in all the areas of our life and follow you and walk with you and obey you. Father, would you work in us, Lord, such a heart of obedience. And we'll give you the praise for what you're about to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.